Red Steagall's Cowboy Corner. Sunday nights at 8. News Talk 790. KFYO.
All right, welcome back to the Chad Hasty Show. News Talk 790 KFYO. In studio with me, we're going to be visiting with these guys quite a bit over the next few weeks, months, or really however long they want to, you know, keep coming in studio is how long we're going to have these guys in. The Protect Water Rights Coalition, four gentlemen in studio with me, Leland, J.O., Kirby, who is a former Navy pilot, I was told, so don't mess with them, is basically what he's told everybody. Kelly also in studio. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Hi, Chad. Good to be here.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. Let's start off first just by talking about the coalition that you guys have and what's going on that people really need to know about. And why start a coalition? Why tell people about it?
Well, Callie actually was kind of the instigator of this, I guess, really. And it all started... for me, it started about 3 years ago when the water district had plans to institute pumping restrictions on us. And I was actually in Senator Duncan's office in October of 2011, and he made the statement that, in his opinion, we don't own the water under this land, and we never did. And the intentions at that time were for the water district to institute over a period of about 6 years down to a 15-acre-inch rule that we would be allowed to pump. And there were a series of fines that were associated with it for over-pumping that limit. And the maximum fines was $10,000 per day per occurrence. And so, you know, that quite significant. And it was apparent that we couldn't live with the rules. You know, the pumping limits, a lot of us couldn't, particularly in a year like 2011, but we also couldn't live with the fines either. It
right.
was going to, you know, we were kind of messed up either way we went on that deal. And so from that point, well, we have discovered a lot of issues as to the authority of this district and the state to limit us from pumping this water because it is privately owned groundwater. As the Texas Supreme Court has ruled more than once. And I guess currently there is a case before the Texas Supreme Court called the Bragg case. All indications are that that will kind of be the landmark decision, you know, defining our rights to this water and the compensation issue. You know, as before the Supreme Court, too. They did have a decision back in May of 2012, I believe, called the Day McDaniel, and they affirmed the landowner's right to the water and the ownership in the water. They did not get into the fact of compensation or the amount of compensation, although they did say that compensation was owed. Mm. Before that, and they referred it back to the district court to determine the compensation. Before that case went forward from the district court, the Edwards Aquifer Authority chose to settle in that case for some $800,000 or $900,000 against, you know, with these people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of a short synopsis of kind of where we came from, and you know, there's a lot to this issue.
Sure.
And we want people to be aware that this is not just a water issue. We feel like there is an assault on private property from the state and from these regulatory agencies.
Well, and this is something that also played a part even in the last primary. You know, in the Republican primary, obviously it's going to be a big deal going into the next legislative session. Water is a huge issue going into the next legislative session. But before we go to break, we have to go to break here in about 2 minutes or so. But tell folks the impact that, you know, what Senator Duncan at that time had told you, the impact that it's had on farmers, on ag producers in this area.
Well, the potential impact was huge from the set of original rules because they were going to require meters on all of these wells. Now, that cost was going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $180 million across the 16 counties. And those rules have been scrapped, but a new set of rules are being considered right now. And our issue with it is that we do not believe that the state or a local entity, which supposedly has the authority of the state behind it, has the authority to limit us in that pumping.
Well, go ahead. We'll take the break. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the anticipated new rules that may be out there. And also, we'll continue to talk about this entire issue going forward. We'll take the break. We'll be right back here on the Chad Hasty Show, visiting with a gentleman from the Project Water Rights Coalition.
Protect Water Rights Coalition.
The Chad Hasty Show, Saturday afternoons at 2, News Talk 790, KFYO.
Welcome back, Chad Hasty Show, News Talk 790, KFYO, talking about the Protect Water Rights Coalition, or Project, if you're like me and you can't read, you know, real well. In studio with me, we've got Leland, J.O. Kirby, and Kelly joining us today. Gentlemen, let's talk about, and Kirby, I think you brought up during the break, you know, kind of putting this towards, you know, those listeners who are like, okay, I'm not a farmer, I'm not an ag producer, I have no idea, you know, how this would kind of shake out if they were talking about my home, or, you know, why would the average person out there who is not involved in agriculture, how would they be affected, or how does this kind of, how would it relate to them?
Well, to put it in perspective, you know, it's like the original set of rules, they were going to limit ag producers to 15 acre inches of water per year. And here in Lubbock, you know, a lot of my family lives here in Lubbock, and, you know, with the water restrictions that are in place right now, it's inch and a half per week that you can use, you know, that you can purchase from the city to water your yard or whatever you need to do. Inch and a half a week, the city of Lubbock people with these restrictions are limited to 78 inches a year. And and then farmers were going to be taken down to 15. And so it's water that we own. You know, we bought and paid for it, and we pay taxes on it. So in that respect, you know, the problem with these rules, when the Supreme Court of Texas has ruled repeatedly on this, if these rules cause a takings, you know, like a diminution or a diminishing of your value of your land because of the rules, then the water districts are liable for a takings claim. And if that occurs due to these rules and a takings claim is won against the water district would have to pay out. And these are huge assessments that are coming down the line. Mm-hmm. And, well, who funds the water district? It's the taxpayers. And we're like, well, why should the taxpayers be liable for this? And, you know, something I like to point out is, where we farm, we have places in the area that the water levels are static, and we pump the wells a lot, and they're static to even some slightly risen. Then we have areas where we have a decline. But there's an official from the Texas Water Development Board, I believe is at a hearing in Amarillo. He was talking about if it doesn't rain another raindrop here in Texas ever again, Texas has enough underground water supply to last at current use rates for 1,500 years. That's how much groundwater. You know, a lot of it would have to be cleaned up. But the bottom line is, you know, it's private property, and we're doing a good job utilizing this water. We're spending a lot of money on conservation to make this water last. And, you know, I've got a little 10-month-old grandson, and if he wants to grow up and be a farmer like his old granddad, you know, many years from now, he'll be still irrigating, pumping water, because it'll be there, and we're developing that technology to make this last.
Right.
The needs of everybody will be met. And but if we're cut off from our resource by a government agency, what good does that water do anybody?
Tell folks about what's coming up this next Tuesday, and maybe how other people can get involved as well.
Well, Tuesday, I believe, at Muleshoe, the High Plains Water District is going to vote on their new set of rules. We're currently under a moratorium with these rules. And, you know, one of the reasons we're under a moratorium is the last board and this board realized the way those rules were written, there's a huge liability against the water district. And so they've tried to rewrite these rules, And so less people are affected. And, you know, like I like to point out to them, it's like, you know, they say, well, these rules will work for most people. I'm like, well, you know, the rights that we as Americans enjoy, it's not for 98% of us. It's for 100% of us. And so, you know, if someone's rights are being affected, they certainly have a right to stand up and make that case how they're being affected by this. But next Tuesday, I believe they're going to vote to put these rules in effect. And, you know, what we've been really asking them to do is the Supreme Court ruling on the Bragg case is coming out pretty soon. Everybody knows that. And we've asked them to slow down and wait and see what the Supreme Court of Texas says. Mm-hmm. And then they need to dovetail their rules to what the Supreme Court says, because just because a law or a regulation is passed, it's not legal until the courts say it's legal. And in this case, the Bragg case, I recommend people look it up online and read about it. It's a huge case, and so far the Braggs have won every step of the way. And, you know, and it's like what one lawyer, I was reading a comment he made, he said that Texas courts have sent a loud message out to these water districts that they cannot make these rules and brush aside the economic impacts that it will bring on people, right, and, you know, specifically landowners. And so it's a big deal coming up.
Well, with the Bragg case, with what's happening in Muleshoe next week, if they pass new rules next week, or if they move forward with this, what impact could that have after the Bragg case? I mean, could the Bragg case just wipe out everything they come up with in Muleshoe?
Well, it could certainly have an effect on the legality of their regulations, and you know, it could seriously impact them. And that's why we're asking, you know, but they've got a moratorium until January on the present rules. And, you know, we've all been up to their hearings that they've had. They had hearings in Leveland and Amarillo or Canyon. And we're just like, you know, what's the rush? You know, slow down. You don't have to vote these rules into place right now.
Right.
You know, in a few weeks, the Supreme Court's going to make the ruling. Look at those. And otherwise, if the rules and regulations go against what the Supreme Court says, they're going to have to rewrite them anyway. Because last I checked, when the Supreme Court makes a ruling, it affects all of us,
yeah.
You know, no matter who you are.
Right.
And so we've been asking them to slow down and take a step back.
Well, they should have done that with the Day case, which was in February of 12. It did say that water districts have to compensate you if they take from you. So they should have stood back then, which in effect they did with that moratorium, but they should have started talking about that right then, that they can't do any restrictions without compensating. And, you know, they wanted to keep the narrative that they had going, and that they tried to say that the Day case had no effect on them. And, you know, that's just not true. That the any Supreme Court case, especially that had to do with water, you know, affects the whole state.
Is there a way, if anybody out there wants to get in touch with one of you or someone else with the Protect Water Rights Coalition, is there a way they can get in touch with y'all?
Protectwaterrights.com.
All right. Easy enough.
Yeah, that has our contact information on it.
Great. Gentlemen, we'll visit with you again next week. We'll also take questions from listeners next week if they have questions as well. I know we had a couple who wanted to ask some questions, but we just ran out of time. Guys, appreciate y'all coming in. Protect Water Rights Coalition, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us, Chad.
We'll be right back.